live in some unusual times. I just want to tell you, I truly believe that the church has nothing to worry about. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody who's a Christian will ever get sick, amen? I mean, sometimes those same things that touch other people are going to touch us. But the thing of it is, guys, we know that Jesus is bigger. That's all we got. Jesus is stronger. Jesus is bigger than any problem that can ever be brought to us. I couldn't help but this morning as I was waking up, I was thinking about Peter. You know, he was out there in that boat with the rest of the disciples, and all those disciples were in the storm, and Jesus had told them to row to the other side. He left them alone for a little while in that boat because he had to get him some alone time with the Lord. And you know, he knew that there was going to be a challenge as they crossed that lake, the Sea of Galilee, and this big storm came up, and it was starting to come over the boat. And how many of you guys have ever been in a storm in a boat before on the water, or in on the water? You see what storm can do to the waves. I mean, we were out one time in the middle of a lake, and your family was in the boat, and the waves was coming over the front of that boat, and it was so scary. We didn't know what to do. And you know this one. It actually happened, guys. They looked out there and saw that there was somebody out on the water. And they said, wow, what is this? This must be a spirit or something. Jesus himself on the water. And he was about to pass them by. That's what gets me. You know, guys, what the fuck is God? We look and whenever we saw that it looked like it was Jesus, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, to come to you. I say praise the Lord for faith. And you know what? Peter, he got out of that boat because Jesus said, and he looked at Jesus, and Jesus was bigger than his problem. His problem was walking on water. How many of you guys have ever walked on water before? Any of you guys ever walk on water? When it's frozen, okay, on that one. I can tell you the closest I ever came. One time I was standing in the water, and lightning hit something above me, and I almost walked on the water that time, getting out of that water. But what I know is, guys, Jesus. He saw Jesus in his sights. Jesus is bigger than the problem. Peter walked on the water. But you know what happened? As soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he looked at his problem. The problem was the waves that were going over his feet. Guys, it was a problem. Definite problem. Whenever you see yourself standing on the water, you think, oh, I'm supposed to be here. This ain't the way this works. He looked down in his problem, and he began to sink. And I'm having some problems these days. Our problems didn't start when coronavirus hit us, Lord. The Lord knows that, guys. Our problems started when we turned our back on God. We started turning our back on God when our problems started. And they've been going on for a good long time, and the church has been praying that God would bring us a wake-up call for the United States. It's part of the wake-up call. So don't be distracted over this. I want you to know Jesus is bigger. There was another time that disciples saw the problem was way, way, way too big. You know, I just tell you guys, Lazarus had a little problem. Y'all might know about this. If you want to look in your Bibles or follow along on the sermon notes there, John chapter 11. Came to you from John chapter 12 not too long ago. And we realized that Mary and Martha were a big part of Jesus' life, a big part of his ministry. But what we see here is they had a problem. They had a problem in their life, and it was a frightening problem. And so I'm just going to go ahead and just start up at John chapter 11 and verse 1, as soon as I can keep my Bible from blowing away here. This is one reason why we should have more scripture memorized, don't you all think? But I don't have all of chapter 11 memorized, so I'm going to have to find it here and then I'm going to read. But what we know is Jesus was out ministering. Jesus knew that the time was beginning to grow near for him to head toward Jerusalem. Now, this was a while before he actually went in to have his triumphal entry. In the book of John, we find that it's just like bang, 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 you know, one chapter, then the next chapter. There was actually time that elapsed between these two stories. But let's just go ahead and pick it up at John chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now, guys, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but that one always boggles my mind whenever I see that. It says he loved them, and therefore he didn't go right away. It's because Jesus had a better plan. Here's the thing, guys. When you and God doesn't answer it the way you thought he was going to right away, I want you to take heart, because you can know that if God didn't say your prayer right then, he's got a better plan. He's got a better plan. God's always got a better plan. And as we look at the rest of the story, it goes on to say, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days. After this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I wake him up." I want to tell you, I hope you're tracking with the Lord, because I think the Lord's teaching us some important lessons. The Lord's teaching us that he's got a better plan. He's got the best plan. He's always got the perfect plan. Keep in tune with the Holy Spirit and keep looking to his plan. Sorry, I got to hug this microphone like this, but I want to make sure you can hear me. And as we see here, guys, we look and we see that Jesus' plan is bigger. And so when we're looking at this, we got to understand, guys, sometimes in our lives, we're going to be in a storm. I talked about one storm where Jesus was walking on the water past the boat, and they all jumped in there. I'm going to talk about another storm as well. We're going to take a little break from our walk through John, and we're just going to talk about what happened in Mark chapter 4, verses 36 through 41. We're going to ask the question, is there anything bigger than Jesus? Can I have you say yes or no on this? Is there anything bigger than Jesus? Absolutely. All those back there in the cars, if your answer to that is no, honk your horn once. I want to hear it. All right. No. That's right. That's our amen section back there. We're going to say here, guys, nothing that's bigger than Jesus. Nothing. No, not nothing. In fact, we see here in Mark chapter 4, verses 36 through 41, they had a big storm going on. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was on the other with him. Great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into that boat so that again, another storm. We talked about that, scary when these storms happen. But he was in the stern. What was Jesus doing during this storm? He was asleep. He was asleep in the back of the boat. He was getting him some rest. And they woke him and said to him, "That we are perishing." And then he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." See, it was a great calm. Is it you have no faith? I want to come say something here today, folks. I know we all deal with fear. But we have got to admit that when we allow fear to take over in our life, it is because of a lack of faith in that area of our life. My goodness, are people fearful in our nation right now? I'm not getting down on anybody for lack of faith. I'm not getting down on anybody for allowing fear to ruin their life, because we've all suffered from it at one time or another. Amen? It's the human condition. Jesus defines it here. They had a reason for their fear. Amen? If they kept looking at the facts of their fear, they were never going to see the fact that came from their faith. But Jesus said, how is it that you had no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And no one said, what can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Guys, we got to understand something. Jesus can calm the storm. Jesus can say, peace be still and it's done. Or Jesus can walk with us through the storm. But his plan's still good. We just need to have faith. God, give us more faith. Help us to look at the situations that we're in by faith today. How about death? Is death bigger than Jesus? Give me a honk if your answer's no out there. Woo! No, Jesus is not bigger than death. All right, yeah, he's bigger. That's right. Jesus is bigger than death. Thank you, sister. All right. Jesus is bigger than death. Death is not bigger than Jesus. Now, a certain man was sick, that Lazarus of Bethany, and even though Jesus loved him, he waited two more days. And I can tell you, it's because he had a bigger plan in mind. He had something bigger and better that he was going to do. Why did Jesus wait those two more days? You know what his disciples were thinking? They were thinking Jesus was afraid he was going to die. They were thinking, well, because they tried to stone him there the last time, he's afraid to go back. So what do you guys think? They were. Yeah. So I'm just going to ask you guys, do you think Jesus was afraid to die? No? If your answer's no back there, honk your horns once. All right. Very good. Amen. So now, after this, the disciples said, let us go to Judea again in verse 7. The disciples said, Jesus said that, and then the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? We already read this part. I'm reviewing it because I want you to think about what he's saying. It's like a riddle almost that he's talking about here. And so he's saying, are there not by the day or in the day? He does not stumble. Cause, right? You see, Jesus was saying, guys, I'm here. My Father is protecting me, and as long as I do his will, I'm not going to leave this earth one moment before it's time. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. As long as you're doing God's will, you are not going to leave this earth one moment before it's his time. Leave. Your life is in his hands. Jesus knew that, and Jesus knew that as long as he was walking while he still had light, as long as he was doing God's will, he was fine. He was absolutely fine. Here's the thing, guys. This tragedy that we see here in this book, this was a tragedy that God ordained to display his glory. He allowed this to happen in the way that it happened, to display his glory. In fact, he goes on in verse 11, and these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. What are the disciples saying? We don't want to go there. Because like they tried to stone you last time we were over there. We don't want to go there. We're scared. Did they have a reason to be scared? Give me a honk if they had a reason to be scared. They had a reason to be scared. The facts of the situation were they did want to kill Jesus. But you see, guys, we got to let our faith be bigger than our fear. We really got to let our faith be bigger than our fear. And so Jesus plainly, he's using this euphemism, he's using this thing, sleep, to talk about death, and he's using it to show that it's not a big deal to him to raise somebody from the dead. You see, he's kind of giving them a hint here. And so those disciples were kind of dense, sort of like us, and they were like, oh, well, if he's asleep, he'll just get on his own, right? And he says plainly, guys, Lazarus is dead. Guys, it wouldn't have mattered if he went right then or if he went 2 days later or whenever he went. Lazarus is dead. You see, he had a bigger plan. And the reason why he waited as long as he did was because by the time he got there, it was going to be absolutely sure and for certain Lazarus was dead because they was going to have him in the tomb. They were going to have him all wrapped up. And you know what? We find out later on, he was even going to stink. He was even going to stink by this. You see, We say, you know, you need to look at the facts, preacher. You just need to look at the facts. You know, the reason why you're so crazy, preacher, is because you're not looking at the facts. But I'm going to tell you guys, we can look at the facts all day long, but we got to know Jesus is even bigger than the facts. We just got to know that. You know, that don't mean that all of us are going to get to stay on this side of heaven forever. In fact, guys, the best thing that can happen to us is whenever that day comes that Jesus says, come on home, my child. Come and be with me forever. That's going to be a beautiful day. I'm willing to wait for Jesus' timing on that. Amen? But boy, that's going to be a beautiful day. Let's not fear that day. Let us look at Jesus. He's bigger than everything. He is bigger. And so the next thing I want us to look at is what Thomas's response is on verse 16. And what I get from verse 16, guys, we've actually got to be willing to die to accept God's glory. We really do. We've got to be willing to die to follow Jesus. I hate to say it, fellas, guys and gals out there, fellas. Have you ever thought about the act of giving your life to Christ? Have you ever broken that down? Have you ever thought about the act of going into the waters of baptism and what that represents? Death, burial, and resurrection. You see, we're proclaiming that Jesus died, and he was buried, and then he rose again. And then we're proclaiming that we, as believers in him and followers of Christ, have died to ourselves. And then we're gonna be raised again to a new life to follow Christ. You see, to follow Jesus, we need to have already been willing to have died to ourselves. And so look at what Thomas winds up saying. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, he said, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Guys, I'm gonna tell you, sometimes it's gonna be dangerous to follow Jesus. Sometimes it's going to be dangerous. It's going to look dangerous to follow Jesus. But here's the deal, guys. If you already gave your heart and soul to him, you're safe. You are so safe when you're in the middle of God's will, right in the center of God's will. Follow Jesus. Guys, here's the thing. We want to make sure that we don't get all stuffy with Jesus like Martha did. Because the next part we're going to look at here, we're going to see Martha thought she knew more than Jesus. And Martha decided to give Jesus a theology lesson. So let me ask you something. Do you think Jesus knows more than us? Yes or no? Give me a honk if the answer is yes back there. All right, Jesus knows more than us. We all agree on that. Amen? Well, we get to verses 17 through 24. Now when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Guys, if you've been dead 4 days, you're dead. Okay? You got that? You're dead. Okay, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and one of the Jews had joined the women around Martha. Many of the Jews had around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Here's the thing, guys. Jesus is bigger than death. Amen. As we continue to read on, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Give me an amen on that one. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Give me a honk if you believe this. Woo! We have got to know that once we are in Christ, we're okay. We got everything we need. Guys, we don't have to live in fear anymore. We don't have to live in fear anymore. In fact, I'm going to guarantee you something. I've had people call and tell me that if we had this service that folks might die. I'm going to guarantee you something. You are going to die someday. Now, I hope it ain't because you came to this service. I didn't twist anybody's arm and make them come. I said, I'll be there, and if you all feel comfortable being there, we'll be there together, and we're going to worship God together. So I want to give a praise to the Lord that you all were willing to come today and to worship the Lord. And here's the second thing, guys. We all know we are going to die someday. Give me an amen on that. For the Christian, it's the best thing that will ever happen to you. We don't rush it. We don't tell Jesus that we're going to do it for him. We just wait on him, and when the time is perfect, we're going to go to glory with him. And that's exactly what Jesus saying, guys, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus is asking us. And don't let your fears of the experience get in the way of the facts of your faith. Guys, everybody keeps saying, preacher, you're not looking at the facts. Guys, I know coronavirus is touching a lot of lives, and I am praying for every one of them. I am praying for the families. I am praying for this nation. But I think the answer to this nation is that we turn to Jesus right now. We turn to Jesus. I know that God blesses doctors too, and I thank God for every one of them. But I'm going to tell you, not one of them can heal anybody unless Jesus blesses them to be able to do it. And so we need to be praying. We need to be worshiping. We need to continue on as the church to be the church. If that means on the internet, then you do it on the internet. If it means on your telephone, you do it on your telephone. But if you got the heart to meet with other people, then you go and you pray and you guys continue to lift up our nation. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves faith. And however you can exercise your faith, you keep doing it because that pleases God. But you see, so often we let those fears of our experience get in the way of the facts of our faith. And so here's what winds up happening, guys. He tells them to roll the stone away. And Martha's over there, and she says, but Jesus, he's going to stink. Oh, he's going to stink. We know those are the facts. If something lays dead for 4 days, it starts to stink. Do I get an amen? I know, it sounds kind of gross when we're talking about a person, but it's just true. These are just facts, but here's the deal. Then they took away the stone from its place, verse 41, from the place where the dead man was lying. He was dead. He was dead. It was a fact. He was dead. But let me tell you, by faith today, he didn't have to stay dead because Jesus is bigger than death. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And guess what happened, folks? Lazarus rose. And he, who had died, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. You know, I've heard it said, and I kind of like this thought. You notice he used his name, Lazarus, come forth. Guys, what do you think would have happened if he had just said, everybody who's dead, come forth? That old tomb would have cleared it out. There could have been dead people rising all over the place, but it wasn't time for them yet. But someday he's going to say it. And you're going to rise. And you're going to have a new body. Why are we so afraid of it? I'll tell you why. Because we're looking at the facts of our fear more than the facts of our faith. Let's look at the facts of our faith. Jesus has got this. If he's got your eternity, he's got your right now, he's got your today, and he's going to take care of you. You follow him in faith. He goes on, and we're going to look at a scripture from Hebrews chapter 2. You know, another thing you want to know about this? You know, back in this whole thing in John, this man was raised from the dead, and everybody was so excited, and it was so awesome. But do you know there were some who stood around there that day that got jealous, and they didn't like it? Guys, do you know there's some people don't like it that you came today? You just got to understand, you need to live to please Jesus. And we're going to let everybody else worry about themselves on that one. But we need to live in faith to please Jesus. Do I get an amen to that? He's the one we're going to stand before and tell Him how we did with what He gave us. Guys, here's the thing. Don't fear death, but rather fear God. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had power of death. Guys, do you know that Jesus has already destroyed His power? We're having to put up with this for a little while longer, but Jesus is coming back someday. And the one who had that power of death, that is the devil, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Guys, you are free. You are free to follow Christ with all your heart. You are free. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heavens. Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Praise the Lord. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Guys, live for Jesus. That's how the devil's overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, by you continuing to follow Him with all your heart. Don't fear death. Fear God. Live for Jesus. Don't be foolish. Everybody always takes this one to this way long thing down there. Okay, then are you going to step out in front of a train? No! God hadn't told me to step out in front of a train. But God did tell me to gather and meet. And so I'm here in faith, and so are you, and so are those who are joining through the broadcast, so are all of our brothers and sisters who believe in faith. Let's praise God together. God's going to overcome this, folks. Let us just make sure that we're walking in step with Him. Don't listen to those who are trying to cause so much fear and trying to say, all these doomsday prophecies. Let's just trust God. He's going to get us through this. We're going to get through it. Do you believe it? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that you are here. You are protecting us. You are among us. You say where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there in our midst. Lord, we are thankful for all the Facebook Live broadcasts that are going out right now. We are thankful for all the internet ministries that are happening right now, but we're also thankful for those who came today for our parking lot service here at Cadet. We are thankful for the people of God that are meeting all over this world. And so God, as we join our hearts together, you said if any two agree on anything, you will do it. And we know that that's providing that it's your will. And Lord, we believe that it is your will to cause faith to be increased in our nation today. Lord, we know that this virus didn't surprise you. We know that you intend it for good. We also know the enemy intends it for evil. And so, Lord, we look to you and we follow you with all our heart. And we pray for our nation and we pray that this would be the catalyst of the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. And I pray that we would have unity in the body of Christ. You said that they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. So God, let us continue to love God with all our heart, love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we would love one another in the church. I pray that throughout this entire experience that we are having, this crisis that we are going through in our nation today, that the church would stay united under our head, Jesus Christ, and that we would see a great revival. God, please bring an awakening. And I pray that we would see a day when abortion in our nation would just be a bad memory. That we would see a day when the churches would truly fill up with people that are wanting to worship you, here to hear the word of God. Lord, please bless us as a nation. May we be a nation that truly fears the Lord. Lord, there is only one way to to go to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. We thank you that you didn't fear death and shrink back, but you took it upon yourself that we might truly live. In Jesus' name, amen.